Everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Matic. You can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. This is our seasonal management waiver wire show here on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast, where we go through the waiver wire for the week. We go through the top streaming options at quarterback, kicker, tight end, and defense for the week. This has been, it's been a very useful show for me, really, because this is, just a great, we have a great ability to sit down and sort through things that really impact, a lot of my fantasy football teams, hopefully a lot of your fantasy football teams, and this is a useful way for, this is just a useful way for us to get ready to manage our teams for the week and for the rest of the season. Now, before we get into it, I do need to tell you guys about the free trial that we have going for DailyRoto.com. Do you want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Then let DailyRoto.com stuff your pockets with cash this Thanksgiving. Get your free trial with promo code STUFFING to unlock a free 7-day elite membership. Leverage DailyRoto's optimizer and industry-leading fantasy projections and learn for the game's best DFS players. Don't be a loser, guys. Don't be a Thanksgiving turkey. Let Drew Dinkmeyer, Michael Leone, and the crew help you win on Thanksgiving and during the week. Please come and get your free trial. That is on dailyroto.com, promo code STUFFING, STUFFING, for a free trial. This is for new customers only, and the offer expires at the end of November. Now let's get into the fantasy football waiver wire, highlighted this week by, I think, Jonathan Williams and Rashad Penny. So Jonathan Williams, it feels crazy because it happened last Thursday. It's like we barely remember this game, but Williams played 67% of the Colts' offensive snaps, topped 100 rushing yards, targeted 3 times in the passing game, and scored a touchdown, actually, I believe from 18 yards out as well. So, it was not just a little 1-yard dash that, Alexander Armagh could have scored. It was a real rushing touchdown. I was pretty impressed by the way that the team used Williams. I thought that he played pretty well, and I see no reason why he is going to go to the bench for Jordan Wilkins anytime soon. And the Colts actually, they have a pretty competitive schedule down the stretch, so if Williams is doing well, it's not going to be a situation where, we're going to see him rested. I think where you could be concerned is as the Colts play in these more competitive games, it's more likely that the team is going to be using Nyheim Hines, who is a very good pass catcher, as opposed to using Williams, who, sure, he's fine at catching passes, but last year when Marlon Mack was injured, Nyheim Hines averaged over 6 targets a game. That's a pretty big role. And of course, the Colts also lost Eric Ebron this week, which is going to make, there's just more room for targets in this offense. Something I could see the Colts doing, and it's hard to add this in the middle of the season, of course, but they could use more 21 personnel. So that means 2 running backs and 1 tight end, especially because the team does not have a ton of wide receivers that they, you don't need to jam targets into Zach Pascal and Chester Rogers. So it's T.Y. Hilton, Jack Doyle, Nyheim Hines. And I see no reason why Williams is not worth, if he's still out there in your league, I see no reason why he would not be worth, whatever fab you have left, assuming, like, if you have fab left right now and you're saving it, there's nothing else to be saving it for. It's time to be bidding on these guys. The other difference maker this week is Rashad Penny. Had a breakout game with a 58-yard touchdown run against the Eagles last week. Chris Carson has now fumbled 7 times this year, and Pete Carroll talked about Carson's fumbles, saying, "Chris is a guy who's a big part of our team, and we'll do everything we can for him. Competition is a beautiful thing, and there's no reason to not get Penny in there next week." So to me, he's basically saying this is a timeshare now, and Pete Carroll is sort of famous for his coach speak, saying this, that, and the other. Like, literally, he will say anything in order to, make his players feel better, and he'll say anything to the media. That really has been Pete Carroll's thing. But Penny is, he has earned some touches in this offense, and given how run-heavy we know the Seahawks want to be, I cannot imagine not wanting to add Rashad Penny this week. I do think that he is probably the, I would actually add him this week, assuming that I had a playoff team. I would add him over Jonathan Williams. He would be my number one add this week at the running back position or any position. So now moving on to some more of the like borderline guys, we have to talk about Ryan Tannehill, who since he took over the starting job for the Titans, no other quarterbacks have scored more fantasy points than him other than Lamar Jackson. There definitely is an element of like, what's going on? Like how is Ryan Tannehill able to do this considering how bad he was in the past in Miami? He's running in these games though, at least 37 rushing yards in each of his last three starts, also has three rushing touchdowns and a 2-point rushing conversion over that time frame as well. The Titans play the Colts and the Raiders the next 2 weeks, so those are two, you know, pretty good defenses for them to be matching up against. So if you would start Ryan Tannehill, you know, if you have Carson Wentz, if you have Tom Brady, if you have Phillip Rivers, right, of any of those guys, I would be playing Tannehill over them for sure. Moving on, Benny Snell, clear workhorse running back for the Steelers without James Conner, who is looking iffy, I think, for the Week 13 game. Pretty good chance that Benny Snell just starts and gets, 50% of the snaps again for the Steelers. He played 49% of their snaps against the Bengals, recorded 21 carries, very similar to Bo Scarborough, the next player that we are going to talk about. He's really going to be, as a starter, about 15 carries and probably one target a game, and if he scores a touchdown in these games, you are going to love having him on your team. If he doesn't score a touchdown, it's more likely that he's going to be in between like 8 and 11 points, but I would definitely be bidding on Snell, especially if I was a James Conner owner in the playoffs, because Snell is just playing in his role. Jalen Samuels' snaps and touches have really been scaled back since that game where he had 13 targets. Really, he's just had the two big games this year, the Wildcat game on Monday night and that 13 target game. And other than that, he's really been pretty replacement level. Our next guy is Bo Scarborough. Matt Patricia has said some very nice things about him, basically just calling him tough, saying that he really wants to learn, that he is, you know, doing all of his assignments, figuring out pass blocking. His usage in the passing game is not good, and Ty Johnson played, more than 40 of the offensive snaps for them last week, but Scarborough is, you know, he is just 100% the lead running back, not the lead, like, pass catcher or workhorse or anything, but he is the lead running back for the Detroit Lions, and especially this upcoming week against Chicago, where even Jeff Driscoll might not be able to play, I think there is a decent chance that Bo is, again, you know, just in that running back two range. Of course, Patrick Laird, the Dolphins know that their running game is not any good. No team has averaged fewer rushing yards per game since the 1946 Detroit Lions. The coach, Brian Flores, has said, you know, we can't get anything going. We have to do a better job. Ryan Fitzpatrick has said that it's frustrating. The team knows that they can't run the ball, and I think that turning to Patrick Laird sooner rather than later, or just at all, because Ballage has already been benched twice for Kenyon Drake and for Mark Walton after the team thought that he was going to start in the preseason, you know, that just did not end up happening. I think that Laird, he played one less snap than Kalen Ballage did on Sunday, and he is ahead of Myles Gaskin in terms of snaps and touches, so Laird, again, a pretty decent ad. Anthony Miller has played over 80% of the snaps for the Bears the last 2 weeks and has 20 targets over the last 2 weeks. And the reason why he's been playing more and why he's been targeted more is he has replaced the tight end role in the Matt Nagy offense. So that Trey Burton, Travis Kelce route tree, that is what Anthony Miller is running right now, with Burton on IR, Adam Shaheen out of favor, Ben Brockenauer dealing with a concussion, and J.P. Holes and Jesper Horsted, the only other available tight ends on the roster. The Bears have just been playing more 10 personnel. Taylor Gabriel is also dealing with his second concussion of the year. So I think Anthony Miller is just a full-time player for the rest of the season, very likely to be ranked as a top 30 wide receiver option this week against Detroit. Definitely like him. Other low-end wide receivers to target, Russell Gage. Julio Jones is now banged up and might not even play on Thanksgiving against the New Orleans Saints. Russell Gage had 10 targets last week, 8 catches for 76 yards. He's not really a prospect. You know, he's a small guy. He's about 5'10", 185 pounds. Ran a 4.56 40-yard dash, but the opportunity is there for him. The team is not running the ball at all because Brian Hill has been so bad at it, and the team has been trailing pretty consistently. So what are you going to do? Well, you're going to target whoever's out there. No Austin Hooper, no Devonta Freeman, maybe no Julio Jones on Thanksgiving. Russell Gage, step on up. Your time is now. Another Atlanta Falcons player is worth talking about, though I personally am probably not going to add him very much. Quadri Olsen is just a very stereotypical, like, productive in college, but plodding running back. Actually kind of similar to Benny Snell, now that I think about it. And, he's only been targeted twice over the last two games. His touches have gone up each of the last 2 weeks, 12 carries in total, 4, then 8. He has also gotten the goal line work and has played over Kenyon Barner. And similar to the Kalen Ballage, Patrick Laird situation, Brian Hill has just played so poorly, it would not surprise me if he was benched in favor of another player just to see if the team could get something going. Quick mention for David Njoku, was not active this last Sunday, but could possibly be active against the Steelers, could possibly be active moving forward, and the team, one, they need a third outlet for passing. You know, I don't think all of these Kareem Hunt targets are stable week over week, and there are so few difference-making tight ends out there. Really, it's Zach Ertz, George Kittle, Travis Kelce, and maybe Mark Andrews. You know, maybe we will give Mark Andrews credit, though he is very up and down depending on the week, and Njoku has the ability to join them as one of those difference-making tight ends because there is a big hole in the roster for Cleveland. You know, they need another guy to take some pressure off of Odell and Jarvis Landry. Finally, our deep league targets. Again, I've mentioned Bilal Powell pretty much every week, but he is the clear handcuff to Le'Veon Bell. I continue to think that there is a chance that Le'Veon Bell just kind of shuts down, especially once it becomes clear that the Jets are, well, I guess they're not dead, but they're dead in terms of playoff contention. So I think Powell is the right handcuff to own. This is, of course, the right time to be adding handcuffs in all formats. James Washington, I'm not going to be adding him in any leagues, especially with Devlin Hodges now likely to start over the next 2 weeks. I think Hodges might be better for the Steelers winning, but I don't think he is as good of a thrower of the football as Mason Rudolph. We might not see Juju Smith-Schuster next week, so James Washington, pretty much the only game in town for the Steelers offense. You know, Vance McDonald did nothing. Dante Johnson did not do much of anything. So Washington could theoretically earn, 6 to 8 targets a week over the next couple of weeks. Finally, our boy Jacoby Myers, with Mohamed Sanu and Philip Dorsett out, it was Myers who took over as a reliable option for Tom Brady over N'Keal Harry. N'Keal Harry scored the touchdown and is a better prospect moving forward in Dynasty, but it's Myers who I would rather have for the rest of this season, and I think that he has a more valuable role in this offense because he's more likely to earn consistent targets as opposed to N'Keal Harry. So that was our roundup. That was our look at the waiver wire for week 13. Now let's go ahead and move on to our streaming situation, and this is very easy. There are two quarterbacks that we are going to be picking up. They are Sam Darnold, who is owned in 40% of Yahoo leagues, and Ryan Tannehill, who is owned in 26% of Yahoo leagues. Sam Darnold has now thrown or scored multiple touchdowns in 3 games in a row, added a rushing touchdown last week, something that we assumed was in his game, but we did not actually know. And then Ryan Tannehill, who as we have mentioned, has just been fantastic for fantasy football. He's added rushing. He's been throwing the ball deep. He is likely getting Delanie Walker back in the lineup for the Titans this week against Indianapolis. This game is in a dome. All of these things combined all add up to make Ryan Tannehill one of the, straight up, he might be ranked as a top 10 quarterback in week 13. So Ryan Tannehill, there you go. And if you are desperate, we have Nick Foles, who's playing at home to Tampa Bay. Weather might not be great for that game, but Tampa Bay has been, one of the worst passing defenses in the NFL. See no reason why that would not continue. So very easy for us here. We are not having to sweat the quarterback position very much. We have Sam Darnold, we have Ryan Tannehill, and we have Nick Foles. Moving to the tight end position, a few more decisions for us to make here. Kyle Rudolph is at 47%. He has scored 5 touchdowns on the year. Now, he has not been targeted very heavily, but we actually, I would kind of expect this Monday night game between the Vikings and the Seahawks to trend towards higher scoring. Both Kirk Cousins and Russell Wilson are having some of the best seasons of their career. I think that both of them are very viable streamers. I would expect Rudolph to be a popular streaming pickup this week. Ryan Griffin has scored 2 weeks in a row now, playing basically 100% of the snaps for the aforementioned New York Jets offense. And he has a real role in the red zone for this team. He really is kind of the first read on a lot of those plays. Noah Fant, mentioned him last week. He was disappointing. He's played a ton of snaps, so we're not particularly mad about that. Well, the thing with Fant is his quarterback is so bad. So Brandon Allen is, you know, he's just not very good. And, you know, that's like, what we're looking for at the tight end position really is targets. So if you're getting those targets from him, then yeah, I think he is a pretty strong streamer. Jack Doyle is likely going to be the guy that I am trying to pick up in leagues where I need tight ends. He is going to be seeing an uptick in snaps with Eric Ebron placed on the injured reserve. I mean, if we remember from last year when Eric Ebron did not play, Doyle's targets trended way up. If we remember also from 2017 without Eric Ebron, Jack Doyle was the second leading receiver for the Indianapolis Colts. So I think this guy is owned in 53% of leagues, but there are some of you out there who are going to have access to Dallas Goedert. So I'm mentioning him, but Dallas Goedert had 9 targets last week, up to 46 targets and 4 touchdowns on the year. I think he is easily the number one tight end add this week for me. No one else is really close with all of these injuries that the Eagles are suffering amongst their wide receivers. I think that he is definitely a guy that you want on your roster. A small mention for Mike Gesicki, who is going to see another uptick in targets and snaps. Jakeem Grant and Albert Wilson seem to both be done for the year for Miami. So actually very similar to Dallas Goedert, we think Gesicki will probably just basically be playing wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins, and I could see him getting 5 to 7 targets this week against Philadelphia, so interested in adding him. Moving on to our kicker streamers, another interesting week at kicker. You know, we don't have some of these slam dunk options that we have had in the past. The first guy I'm going to mention, you guys already know, Zane Gonzalez, playing at home to the Los Angeles Rams. He's playing indoors. He's playing against a pretty bad defense, and Zane Gonzalez is a top 10 fantasy kicker this year, available in many leagues because he is coming off of his bye. The other kicker worth mentioning is, of course, our guy Jake Elliott, 22% owned, playing against the Miami Dolphins. Now, again, this game is outside, so we don't like playing these guys outside quite as much as we do indoors. You know, really, in general, we are trying to find indoor kickers. I would also give a mention for that reason for Nick Folk, who is the kicker for the New England Patriots. And if you're really desperate and you're going for a team that is known for their prowess at kicking field goals, but just a completely miserable matchup. You know, we don't like to take underdog kickers, but Chase McLaughlin, he is 8% owned in Yahoo leagues. He is a decently strong ad as well. But this week, you do really want Zane Gonzalez. You do really want Jake Elliott, and you do really want Nick Folk for the New England Patriots. And I guess, I mean, it's hard to know if these guys are ever out there, but Kymie Fairbairn, or even better, if someone dropped Harrison Butker in your league because of their bye week, he is the number one ad without a doubt. You know, you want to get the Kansas City Chiefs kicker on your roster. So if you're listening to this right now, go through your leagues and just go see if he was dropped, because if he was dropped, he is a super strong option this week. Now, moving to the streaming defenses, this is a pretty good week for streaming defenses. Philadelphia is 42% owned. They play at the Miami Dolphins. They are clearly the number one defensive special teams add this week, so you can't really go wrong there. The Detroit Lions get the Chicago Bears at home on Thanksgiving. They are pretty strong. The Carolina Panthers get the Washington Professional Football Team at home. They are the number two streaming defense of the week. So there are a ton of different options to go with here. The New York Jets get the Cincinnati Bengals There now, that game is not at home, but the Bengals, you know, it's not as good with Andy Dalton coming back, but that's definitely a situation that you want, that you would not be disappointed to find yourself in that situation. If your league is crazy deep and you have no other options, there's hardly anyone else out there. The Kansas City Chiefs are at home to the Oakland Raiders. They are 21% owned in Yahoo leagues. They are a decent ad as well. So that is going to do it for us here at the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. Please make sure to check out dailyroto.com for free this week using promo code STUFFING, and we will be back tomorrow.